And I just want to share what God put upon my heart this week. Philippians chapter number 3, and I want to begin reading in verse number 8. So when you get there, just say amen. Philippians chapter number 3. If I seem to be limping this morning, that's because I am. I woke up. When you get old, I don't know what happens to your body. But I woke up this morning. Actually, it was last night. I just started limping my upper leg. I don't know what I did, how I did it, when I did it. I don't know if I did it in my sleep. But this morning, it is what it is. Amen. So, hallelujah. For all you that are not there yet, you will be. So, just give you something to not look forward to. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse number 8 says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I had suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may what? Win Christ. And verse 9, and be found in him, very important, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse number 10, that I might know him, or I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. And if by any means, verse 11, I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I want to get a title in verse number 10, if we would go back there for just a moment. And it says that I may know him. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us. Thank you for the privileges. We open the bread of life. We open the word of God today. Use it, Father. Lord, let it go forth. You promise it will not return void, but accomplish your purpose in every heart and every life. And Father, we give you all the praise, all the glory for who you are and what you're going to do in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let me know if you really want to know someone, if you really want to know what their life is, follow them around and watch them when they're under pressure. Amen? Amen. In other words, we can go through life at an idle as long as everything's going well. But when the pressure is applied, that's when the real man or woman of God will come forth or be there. See, Paul was under pressure when he penned this letter. It's what we know as a prison epistle. But not just in prison, he was under Nero. Nero hated Christianity. I mean, no, prisons today are deplorable. Amen? Well, I say that, but I had to get a check there. They have gymnasiums, television, and so no comparison to what Paul was going through. But being under Nero, I'm sure that Paul was placed probably in the most deplorable of places. Amen? But one of the things that we notice here is something that Paul doesn't ask. Notice when he, and understand this is a letter to the church in Philippi. Notice he doesn't ask for a release. He doesn't ask for them to go forth to all the churches and raise up some money so maybe he can pay his way out of there. Amen? But he says that I may know him. Paul was looking for something, and I'm going to touch on a few things this morning that I think is so important. How many knew Paul understood what miracles were? When you read his life, we know him and Silas were locked in a Roman jail, and God just came through and earthquake and set them free. Paul raised the dead. Paul knew what miracles were. Paul was in a place, folks, listen to me. He said he had a vision of a third heaven, taken to a place where things he saw could not even be uttered. He was in a place where he probably could have asked for anything that he wanted. But he said that I might know him. Why is that important? And this is what I want to say this morning, because I believe God's going to do something special here today. Notice he doesn't ask for miracles. Watch this for just a moment. How many believe in miracles? Amen. How many have ever received a miracle? Amen. Miracles are real. Yes. Amen? We believe in a miracle-working God. But Paul doesn't say, I need a miracle here. He says that I might know him. And I want to tell you why. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalm 103:7, it says, he made his ways known unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. Israel experienced some of the greatest miracles, if not the greatest miracles, recording in the Bible. They saw the plagues. They saw the Red Sea split wide open. God took them across on dry ground and drowned the chariots in the army of Pharaoh. They experienced all these things. But yet, in the end, everyone, now watch me, everyone that experienced the miracles of God, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, died in the wilderness, completely lost. Say, well, why is that? Because if we're not careful, folks, we get in that mindset of God, what you can do for me, and get focused on the miracle and not the miracle worker. When Jesus walked this earth, let me tell you something. He had them following by the thousand. When he would feed the 4,000, the 5,000, he had all these disciples, followers with him. But finally he turned and he said to them, I want to just give you a little revelation or insight. I'm the true bread of life. That's come down from the Father, from heaven. And at that moment, the Bible says many of them turned away and he looked at his disciples and said, will you leave me too? Paul said that I might know him. Now, this is where I always get into something maybe not really popular. The hyper-faith movement, many would say Paul didn't have complete revelation from God at that time. That we have it now. Oh, I've read this. That God didn't give him complete revelation at that time or to the church, that he's given to the church now, because according to the hyper-faith movement, he shouldn't have been in prison. Amen. The hyper-faith movement says, you know what? He would have been there because of his lack of faith. Didn't get complete revelation. I got a Greek word for that. Balonos. I don't know if it's Greek, but it means baloney. What was Paul saying here? Let's just get to where we live sometime. Sometimes, folks, listen, you're going to go through some things. Guess what? And God's not going to show up the way that you want him to do it. Sometimes you're going to pray, you're going to seek God, you're going to go after God, you're going to fast, you're going to do all the things that you can do, and that's great. That's what you need to do. But in the end, sometimes God just doesn't show up in your situation maybe the way you think that he should show up. Does that mean that God doesn't care? Absolutely not. God is sovereign. God is sovereign in all his ways. And that's what's wrong. Because see, that hyper faith, and I don't want to pick on that this morning, but I'll just stay with it for a moment. That's why it's so destructive and stuff, because someone will go through something and they'll feel like they failed God, or they're failing God, or they're in sin, or they're doing something wrong. And let me say something. All these things can cause it, but let me tell you something. Sometimes in your life, it's just the sovereignty of God that you're going to have to go through things. And in the end, it's going to be that I may know him. That I might know the God, not just the miracles. God is a miracle-working God, but I want to know him that is behind the miracles. Paul could have been, let me tell you something. Sometimes when we look at our text, it's not only what he says, it's what he doesn't say. He didn't seek release. He just sought Jesus. He said, you know what I really need? I need to know the Lord in such an intimate way. I don't know why this is. Well, maybe I do. But you're going to experience things in life. Well, let me just back up a little bit. Some of the times that I've gone through the most difficult seasons, I'll call it seasons of my life, I have never felt the presence of God anymore. Even more than I'm out when you're on the mountaintops, when you can feel God's presence. There's something about when you're going through that difficult season in your life that God just shows up in such a supernatural way that he lets you know, like we were singing today, that you're not alone. How many know sometimes that's all you need to know? You know what? Maybe people can encourage you, but I tell you what, some people that mean well are not really encouraging. Amen? Amen. But let me tell you something, when you're going through something, you feel like you don't know how you're going to get out of it, not even sure if you're going to get out of it, and you feel that presence of God. And maybe it's just a whisper. It's not always a shout. Sometimes it's just a whisper that says you're not all alone, but I'm with you. In fact, Paul would say, he would say later on that he said, everyone has forsaken me. Turn from me. But then he says, but the Lord was with me. Hallelujah. That I might know him. To know God is eternal life. And I think sometimes we lose focus on what's really important. And let me just say this. How can you get to know God? Let me tell you this, and I know you know this, Christianity 101. You'll never get to know God if you don't spend time with God. And I know that I'm just going to go through this because it probably doesn't apply to anybody here. Maybe one or two. Three or four? I don't know. But I'm going to go through it anyway. You cannot know God unless you spend time with him. You cannot know God in a personal, intimate way unless you spend time in his presence. How many know it's more than just going to church on a Sunday morning or Bible study on a Wednesday night? Those things have their place. But let me tell you something, I know you know this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. You need to set up church in the house, amen? You need to have your own personal time with God every day, set apart. Where you get into your word, where you pray, where you call upon God. Because I'm going to tell you, you're going to come to a place in life, if you're not there, you will be. Or maybe you were there, but you're not there now. You're going to come to a place where the only thing that's going to take you through your situation is an intimate knowledge to know that no matter what you face in this life, you're not going to go through it alone. But there's a God that sees, that knows every situation in your life. In fact, he knows everything that's going to take place in your life before it even happens. And that's the God that's going to bring you through. Paul was writing to the church. He could have said, I need a miracle. I need finances. I need a release. But he said, I need to know Jesus Christ. I need to know him in an intimate way. And I'll tell you why, and this is just me. Things don't always work out the way you think they're going to work out. Amen. I said, things don't always work out the way you think they're going to work out. But when you stay close to God, they seem to work out the way God wants them to work out. He said that I might know him. But he didn't stop there. Let me just finish. It says, in the power of his resurrection. The Bible says the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead shall quicken your mortal body. That means to make alive. What Paul is saying here is, I need to know the Holy Ghost power. I'm going to get an echo here, Brother John. That Holy Ghost power that works in our lives. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1, real quickly, just to the left. I want to show you what that is. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of his glory, or the riches of his glory is his inheritance in the saints. And verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his what? His power to usward who what? Believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. The power Paul is talking about is the activity, the manifestation, and the strength of the Holy Spirit working with believers. Let me say this. Paul knew if he was going to make it. How many going to make it? Come on, get your hand up, please. I want you all to make it. He knew if he was going to make it, it was only going to be one way: to know God intimately and to know and experience the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the power of God that will sustain us, that will keep us, that will lift us up above every situation. The power of his resurrection. And here's another popular one. The fellowship of his suffering. How many prayed today for the fellowship of his suffering? Not one hand. In fact, when's the last time you prayed for the fellowship of his suffering? Lord, just give me the fellowship of his suffering. Amen? I mean, no, that's not what we pray for. But yet, this is Paul's prayer in prison. And this is what he's praying for. That I might know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering. Suffering here means hardship, persecution. And I want to just say this real quickly. How many want to make heaven your home? I'm getting a good response today. This is awesome. That's the goal, isn't it? We walk through this life, through this season, but ultimately our goal is to make heaven our home. Amen? That should be the goal of every, the hope of his calling, amen, is to make heaven our home. But I'm going to tell you something. You'll never make heaven your home if you're not willing to go through some things in your life, because you're going to have to endure some things. Suffering, hardship, persecution. How many are probably not the most popular in your family? And let me just say this to you. The closer you get to God, and I'm just going to lay it out there. As long as you want to water it down and compromise it, you can fit right in. And I'm sure we need to be all things to all people. Paul said that so that we might win them. And that's, you know, but that's the fine line. But if you're not going to compromise who you are in Christ Jesus, if you're going to live for God and your life is going to be a testimony to God and the light that Jesus has put in you is going to shine through, you will not be the most popular person on the workplace. Amen. And in your family. The fellowship of his suffering. In the end, listen, folks. Those that were closest to Jesus, in the end, they left him. Just think about it for a moment. They left him. Even Peter denied him. We know the story. I've preached on it. If you're going to make heaven your home, folks, you're going to have to endure a little bit of persecution, a little bit of hardship, the fellowship of his suffering. How do you think Jesus felt when all the disciples, you know, he said to his disciples, just, I want you to do me a favor, listen to me. Just wait here. Just pray. Just pray. The Bible says, and Jesus went and agonized because he knew the cup that was about to bear. He goes back to the disciples, and instead of having a prayer meeting, they're all sleeping. All asleep. Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen. I just got to say this because it's in my spirit. You better have power over your flesh. You better be able to say no to your flesh. I just feel this morning. Only through the power of God can you do that. You know, your flesh has a will. Your flesh has desires. How many know they're contrary to what God has for you? How many know your flesh is real? And let me say this, I think one of the greatest downfalls of humanity is they surrender to the flesh rather than submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen? Let me say this, if you don't control your flesh will control you. Don't you wish that when we got saved, Jesus would eradicate that? Just destroy that flesh? But he doesn't, does he? Flesh is there. Don't be religious on me this morning and say to yourself, not me. Follow anybody around for a while. Amen? Come on. Follow anybody around for about a week, and I guarantee it's going to show up. But the flesh is real. But that's why God gave us the Spirit of God. Amen? That which counteracts the flesh. Hallelujah. How many with me this morning? Amen. The fellowship of his suffering and being made conformable unto his death. That simply means to die as he died. Amen. First of all, live as he lived, but to die as he died. You really want to know someone? You really want to know what someone's made out of? Watch them under pressure. Watch them under the pressure cooker of life. See what you want to really see what someone's made out of? Watch them when the pressure comes. You know, I remember many years ago, I'll date some of you a little bit. I don't know who would remember. You have to be a Bible scholar or go back. How many remember C.M. Ward? Yeah, that's it. Boy, I guess, phew. One time he was the most popular preacher in America. C.M. Ward. Had a radio program throughout the country. Boy, thank God our rewards are in heaven, not here. Amen. For 25, 30 years, C.M. Ward, his voice was heard on the radio all over America. Tremendous. Wrote books. I had the privilege of meeting him in Bible college. In fact, Jimmy Swaggart, where I went to Bible college, C.M. Ward was like a mentor to him for many, many years. And I remember that he got up into the pulpit at Bible college, and he said, I want to speak to all you young preachers. You pastors, you evangelists. He goes, let me tell you something. When you turn your heart over to the lordship of Jesus Christ, I want to let you know something that you already know, but I just want to remind you that there's an enemy out there that is absolutely real. And when you really come to that place where you choose to, without a doubt, follow God and surrender your life totally to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, he said the enemy will put you on what the FBI has. The most wanted list. Amen? And he's going to come after you with everything he has. But that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Listen, folks. He said, here's what I want you to do. He said, when you get in that pulpit, don't get up and say, woe is me. Let me say something. How many have known when I'm in this pulpit what I'm going through? You can't tell, can you? How many know what I'm going through right now? You don't know, do you? You know why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And he said, here's what I want you to do. Point them to the east. Because the God in you is greater than your situation. And that's what we have to do. We've got to learn. Folks, listen. We could all have a pity party. We could all have a woe is me. I may have one right now. Oh, okay. But you can have one. It's easy to do. Poor me. Why me? Said, point them to the east. Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, he knew this letter would be read, knew this letter would be passed on. And what he was saying to the church in Philippi is, I want them to know something that's very, very important. That's going to get you through every situation. And that's knowing the Lord Jesus Christ in an intimate and personal way. Well, you say, how do we achieve this? Thank God he helps us out a little bit. Amen. How do we get there? Most of us won't be in prison. I hope. Amen? I may plan on going to prison anytime soon. Amen? So how do we achieve this? Verse number 12, and let me just read real quickly. It says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. This is Paul talking. He said, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And let me say something. I'm going to pursue God, and I'm going to pursue Jesus the same way he's pursuing me. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Imagine that, this one thing that I do. And here it is. Forgetting those things which are what? Behind. Why is that important? How many have a past? Mike turned up here. How many have a past? How many have done some things in the past that you wish you didn't do? But you know the key word? Past. See, the devil likes to remind you of your past. How many know he likes to whisper in your ear your past? But Paul says something, this is critical. Forgetting those things which are behind. Let me tell you something, folks, listen to me. You can never go forward in Christ Jesus as long as you're still looking back. You'll never get to that place where God wants you to be as long as you're still going back. And this is a real thing. I don't know about you, but I've had those things where the enemy likes to come in and just remind you of some things you've done. That ever happened to you? No? One or two? It'll happen. But you know what? Paul says, if you're going to get to this place, this one thing you need to do is forget those things that are behind. You know why that is? Because they're under the blood. Say, under the blood. And if they're under the blood, why do we resurrect them again? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are what? Which are before. Yesterday's gone. Amen? It's gone. How many know you can't live on past manna? Amen. Amen. Today's a new day. Forget those things and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I like what he says. He said, I press. I mean, it's hard to move forward sometimes when the pressure's there. Amen? But Paul says, I'm pressing towards something that's greater than I am. He says, I'm pressing toward a reward that's greater than anything I can even realize. I'm going to finish and listen to me, that I might know him, to know God as eternal life. The greatest thing that you can do, not walk around and become a healing evangelist. Amen. I mean, oh, God has a place for healing evangelists. Amen. Amen? Greatest thing you can do is to know Jesus Christ personally and intimately in your life. That's the greatest thing, to know God intimately and personally in your life. When you know God, you will know the power of the Spirit of God working in your life. And no matter what you face, I am not alone. Amen. God will take you through. Yes. Amen. Amen. And then you got to forget those things that are behind. Put your hands to the plow. Why do you think the Lord said any man that's put his hands to the plow and looks back is what? Not worthy for the kingdom of God. I'm going to have your hands on the plow. Amen. Amen. Just keep your hands on the plow. You know what? You never know what you're going to run into, do you? You turn and start looking back, you're going to hit something and it's going to catch you by surprise. But if you keep your hands on the plow and look straight ahead, nothing you face. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me for just a moment? Hallelujah. Lift your hands to heaven. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us. Thank you for the privilege that we can come together as the people of God. Thank you for the word of God that has gone forth. And Father, I pray that you would use it today for your purpose and glory. Lord, you promised it would not return void, but accomplish your purpose in every heart and every life. In the mighty name of Jesus. And I just thank you for what you're doing in hearts and lives. And what you're going to continue to do in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you and give you praise and glory and honor for who you are right now. And this is what I felt in my heart. I don't know, Peely, you want to make it up here or Ernie, someone, and just play something for just a moment. I don't know, but here's what I felt like I wanted. This is what I felt like the Lord wanted me to ask. You're here today and you're going through a struggle. You're facing something that's bigger than you ever imagined. Now, I don't know if that's anybody, or I'm just telling you what I feel. You're going through something in this life right now that's even, it's bigger than you ever imagined. And you need to know that God is with you in this situation. You need to know that God is with you in that situation. If that's you, I want you to make your way to the altar real quickly because I want to pray. God wants to show himself real quickly to you. Anyone at all, I'm only going to wait a moment. Hallelujah. Facing something in your life right now that's bigger than you ever imagined, And you need to know that God is with you and you're not alone. God is going to see you through this situation. Anyone at all, just make a line here real quickly. This is what I felt like God put upon my heart today. Hallelujah. God wants it. God's going to show up in your situation. You just need to believe God. Hallelujah. If you're not at this altar, just stretch your hands this way. Let's pray together. Amen. Hallelujah.